from the heart of our nation's capital, here's Family Research Council President Tony Perkins.
Well, Merry Christmas, everyone, and welcome to a special Christmas Eve edition of Washington Watch. Coming up, we'll go to the little town of Bethlehem a little later and hear from our good friend, Pastor Naeem Corey, pastor of First Baptist Church in Bethlehem, Israel. And as we celebrate the birth of Jesus Christ here in America, we have brothers and sisters in Christ who are facing increased persecution around the globe. We'll speak to Dr. David Curry of Open Doors in just a moment. Also, we'll step back in history, 50 years to be exact, to an event that occurred on Christmas Eve in 1968. It captured the attention of the entire world, and of course, it prompted the anti-religious crowd to sue. NASA Administrator Jim Bridenstine joins me with the details. And why all the controversy surrounding a baby in a manger? Dr. Frank Turek is here with a few helpful tips on those Christmas Day conversations about Jesus. All of that and more coming up on this special Christmas Eve edition of Washington Watch. To find out more, go to the website, TonyPerkins.com. Got a few, I'd say Christmas gifts there for you to check out. I'll talk more about that a little bit later at TonyPerkins.com. All right, if you are a frequent listener of Washington Watch, and I know that everybody's schedules are kind of different this time of year, so maybe you just happen to catch the program as you're in the car driving to Grandma's house. Well, we often talk on this program about Christians around the globe who are being persecuted for their faith in Jesus Christ alone. A huge percentage of the world's population live under regimes that are oppressive just because of their faith, because of their faith in Jesus Christ. But we not only talk about the problem, but also about ways that you can stand with them in support of them. So I want to encourage you on this Christmas Eve to be thinking of your brothers and sisters in Christ who are being persecuted for their faith, and pray for them. Just take a moment as you pray together as a family, hopefully on this Christmas, either Christmas Eve or Christmas Day, and just remember those who are being persecuted for their faith. With us now to talk more about this is our good friend, Dr. David Curry. He is the president and CEO of Open Doors USA. David, welcome back to Washington Watch.
Thank you for having me on, and Merry Christmas.
Thank you, David. Merry Christmas. Briefly, give our listeners, because I know this time of year everybody's schedules are different, so we've got, I'm sure, some folks listening that have not heard you on Washington Watch before. Tell them about the ministry of Open Doors.
Well, Open Doors started over 60 years ago when the Soviet Union still existed in its former incarnation. We began smuggling Bibles into the Soviet Union to make sure that people had the ability to read the scriptures, even if they didn't have the right, according to their government, to read it. And still today, in countries around the world where people are persecuted for reading about Jesus, reading the words of Jesus, or wanting to follow Jesus as a Christian, there are lots of places like that, unfortunately. That's where Open Doors goes, and we want to stand with those believers who are facing suffering or harassment or persecution for their faith.
And you do an annual report on this persecution, and we've continued to see over the last decade an escalation of the persecution of Christians, where Christians, you know, the media doesn't like to report this fact in this country, but Christians are the single largest religious group that is persecuted around the globe.
Yeah, that's absolutely right, and you have to remember there are, you know, large swaths of Asia where people are persecuted for having a Bible, where you can't, according to law anyway, determine that you're going to be a follower of Jesus. We know it's an internal thing, but when people do that, even within their family cultures in some places, in the Middle East and in North Africa, their society, their family, it will kick them out. In some cases, even worse can happen. So there is a growing persecution of Christians that's been happening. Certainly over the last 5 to 6 years, we've seen these incidents, these episodes that people would be very familiar with because they watch the news, kidnapping of Christian girls at school, ISIS.
Right, in Nigeria.
Their focus, yeah, Nigeria. But around Christmas especially, this can be a dangerous time for Christians in these areas. And it's just a time for us to be thinking about those people who have to have a secret Christmas, so to speak, who worship privately for fear of their life, and to pray and to care and also be grateful for the freedoms we have, of course.
You're right. And you know, in recent years, we've seen these types of holiday celebrations, whether it be Christmas or Easter, where many people gather in churches, whether it's in Syria, Iraq, even in Egypt, where these Christians are then targeted with bombs, with shootings, and other things to intimidate and to kill them. In many cases, in many countries around the world, this is not being perpetrated by the government, but they're not receiving the full protection of the government. So the government's kind of turning a blind eye to this.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, it's really two different sides of the secret Christmas issue. There are countries where the government would like to, you know, like to see people have individual freedoms, but you have radicals within their midst, and they're having a difficult time controlling them. But you also have places like Saudi Arabia, other places where it's illegal to celebrate Christmas, where people in Somalia, it's totally outlawed. So there are places where it's completely underground.
Well, you mentioned, Dr. Curry, the freedoms that we have in this country, and I would be remiss if I didn't add to this conversation that we now have an administration that is trying to right a lot of these wrongs, putting a greater focus and emphasis on religious freedom around the globe, having the first ever ministerial to advance religious freedom this past summer. The president working aggressively in individual cases where Christians are being targeted for their faith by their government. But there's more that can be done by the individual Christian and churches in this country to stand with believers around the world. Well, give us some practical steps of what can be done.
Well, you're absolutely right. I think for those political leaders who take a strong stand to support religious liberty for Christians and others, they pay a price. And it makes it so much easier if Christians would let their voice be heard on the subject. You and I know of a lot of folks who are speaking out, but as a percentage of Christians in this country, that we're still not aware, awake, mobilized to the rising persecution, and it makes such a difference when we can get together. So when you hear of people talking, and you do it on your show, I'm always trying to remind people, let's have every church every Sunday praying and talking in some way about the issues, the people who are affected by Christian persecution, and how we can know our Bible, know our calling to support each other in the faith, and to support those who are persecuted for it. I think this time of year, when you're talking about Christmas, we have some things that people can do as well, fun things that can teach children. We have a illustrated e-book that people can download that will take kids on a tour around the world describing celebrations and how they different than our, how Christmas can be different from the U.S. Celebration of Christmas here in the United States. It's a fun thing for people to do. There are e-books that we have that adults can download that summarizes the issues of what's going on around Christmas in countries where people are persecuted for their faith. These are things you can do to be educated, make sure that people know, yes, it's not an imaginative thing. It's not a small thing. It's not one episode or two episodes. It is a rising resistance and opposition to Christians in all kinds of forms, and it's especially dangerous at Christmas.
Give us some numbers to put this in context for folks in terms of the percentages around the globe of people that are living under this type of oppression.
Well, it's if you had 12 people in a room, at least one of them is going to be persecuted for their faith. 12 Christians. So it's a significant number. And you're looking, and by that was last year's number. Some of the indicators we have for the new data for the World Watch List, which we release in a couple of weeks, is showing even more people affected. So in China, you have a large amount of Christians. For some time now, that number had been dropping. Now, for the last 5 or 6 years, that number is going up. So more people are affected by restrictions, by the pressure that the Chinese government is putting on Christians in that country to become more in line with their ideology, you might say. You have 64, 65 million Christians in India who are greatly affected by this rising persecution. So they're significant numbers.
David, what's behind this? I mean, you cannot look at this without looking at it from a spiritual perspective and seeing the significance of Jesus Christ and the transformational power of the gospel. There's no other way to explain the opposition to this other than it sets people free, and that intimidates people in positions of power that want to control.
I think you're right. I mean, the message of Jesus is so transformational. It's also unsettling for people who don't like the message of Jesus. That's always been the case. But when you start looking around the world and you see dictators who want to control their people, and then you have Christianity, the message of Jesus, which is bringing hope, it values each and every individual, that flies in the face of what these dictators want to do. It flies in the face of what tyrants have always wanted to do. And so when you have people of faith, whether it's in Mexico or Colombia, who are standing up to the drug cartels, that they're going to get resistance. When you have regimes that have are built on a cult of personality, you're going to have resistance to Christian faith. So a lot of the things which make the message of Jesus so transformational, the knowledge that each and every person is made in the image of God, these kinds of ideas are dangerous. It's a dangerous book, the Bible, and that's why it's resisted.
Because if you know the truth will make you free. Dr. Curry, before I let you go, I know it's coming up at the end of the year and Open Doors. This is where, you know, the bulk of your resources come in. How can people partner with you to stand in support, both, you know, advocacy-wise, but also in direct assistance to those being persecuted?
Well, we'd love for every believer to be praying for the persecuted church. You can go on our website and see stories and videos you could share on social media. We do have an ebook, Secret Christmas, that people can download on their new device, and this illustrated ebook for children. Any of these things, just if people get excited about loving their brother and sister in Christ, I would be encouraged.
And they can financially stand with you as well, because you your work is by all done by donations of people who care.
Absolutely. Thank you, Tony, so much for having me on, and Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas to you, David. Look forward to talking to you after the first of the year. Dr. David Curry with Open Doors, and I would encourage you, my family, we support Open Doors. They're a great ministry. And I would encourage you to check out their website and be a part of standing with them as they advocate for and help believers around the world. All right, don't go away. When we come back, we're going to a little town of Bethlehem to hear from our pastor at First Baptist Church, Bethlehem, Israel. That's next. Don't go away. More Washington Watch to come.
This Christmas, give a gift with purpose. Your gift to Family Research Council enables us to advance faith, family, and freedom in public policy and the culture from a Christian worldview. Together, we will work to ensure religious liberty for all Americans is upheld, unborn babies in the womb are protected, and biblical values are honored in our country. Your giving can make an eternal difference for your community and for future generations. And if you give between now and December 31st to FRC, your gift will be doubled by a generous challenge match. Any donation is tax deductible. Be fruitful in your gift giving this season. Call 1-800-225-4008 or visit frc.org/2018 to donate. Again, that number is 1-800-225-4008 and frc.org/2018. Thank you for standing with us. FRC wishes you and your family a Merry Christmas and a Blessed New Year.
We are inviting you to join other like-minded people and become a STAN member. We want to build stronger relationships with listeners like you and provide resources to strengthen your faith and equip you to stand for the values that matter to you of life, marriage, and religious freedom. By joining this growing network of engaged believers, you'll receive a copy of Tony Perkins' book, No Fear, detailing courageous Christians standing for truth. And for a limited time this month, we will also send you a copy of Pastor Carter Conlon's book, It's Time to Pray, that illustrates how God's power can change everything. Take action today and become an FRC STAN member for $17 a month. That's just 56 cents a day. To join, call 1-800-225-4008 or visit frc.org/stan. That's 1-800-225-4008 or visit frc.org/stan. Thank you for partnering with us. The world on our horizon isn't like the days I knew. Gone are the days of writing with fresh ink on thick paper and the swift crack of a letter opener. Homemade meals now replaced by fancy robots trying to figure out how often I buy organic goji berries. I don't even know what a goji berry is. My church started offering free Wi-Fi and changed their name from First Baptist to Radiant Water Life something or other. They even started posting video sermons recorded on wood pallet backgrounds that sync directly to a Dropbox that I have yet to locate. Thankfully, there's a silver lining to all this newfangled technology. Family Research Council's Stand Firm app. Put down your quill and contact your legislators directly from your smartphone or tablet. Share legislative alerts with your contacts and connect with like-minded Christians about the latest current events. Read the Washington Update and listen to Washington Watch with Tony Perkins. This thing's got it all, buddy boy. Keep your cool and help secure our future at frc.org/app.
Merry Christmas and welcome back to Washington Watch. I'm your host, Tony Perkins. The website is tonyperkins.com. On this Christmas Eve, I can't think of a more appropriate place to go than Bethlehem. It's located just south of the city of Jerusalem in the fertile limestone hill country of the Holy Land. We were there actually earlier this year in the spring. And since the 2nd century AD, people believe that the site of what's called the Church of the Nativity there in Bethlehem is where Jesus was born. I've been there, been inside of that facility. It's Bethlehem's an interesting place. It's changed a lot in the last several decades. But one of the places that when I go to Bethlehem, I like to visit, makes me feel at home. It's the First Baptist Church of Bethlehem. And the pastor there is our good friend, Dr. Naeem Khoury. He's been pastoring there for years. He was the youngest of 10 children, was born and raised in Jerusalem's Old City. His grandfather was a Greek Orthodox priest, as were 11 of his uncles. He grew up in a traditional Greek Orthodox home, raised according to the original Christian Orthodox tradition. But in 1968, he attended a Bible meeting at a Bible-believing church. This was the first time he heard about God's plan of salvation according to the Bible. The gospel transformed his life. He's been taking that message to others now for decades, and it's a transformative message still today. Dr. Naeem Khoury, thank you so much for joining us, and greetings.
Yes, Brother Tony, greetings to you. Merry Christmas. And Happy New Year to you, all your listeners.
Well, let me ask you, Dr. Khoury, how are things there in Bethlehem on this Christmas Eve?
They are under preparation, the municipality under preparation of making decoration for Christmas. But inside the hearts of people, Very, very, very sad because of the bad economy, because of the political situation, because of the stress, the depression people are going through. And I don't believe all these decorations makes people happy. As I said yesterday in the major square, I was standing with several people. I said the only happiness can and joy comes to our heart when we start to think to celebrate in the real birthplace of our Savior, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, Jesus Christ. Decoration does not bring joy and happiness to our life.
So well said. I mean, we see that here in the United States of America, where, you know, we enjoy, you know, right now we've got a really strong economy. Things are going well, despite the fact the stock market's been teetering a bit. But we enjoy everything that people could want. But yet there is a lot of unhappiness. There's a lot of celebration, a lot of the external trappings. But it really comes down to what is in one's heart, and that is whether or not they have a relationship with Jesus Christ. And that's a message you've been sharing. And I mentioned just a few moments ago how Bethlehem has changed over the last several decades to where the 90% of the population there in Bethlehem are not Christians. They're actually Muslims.
Yes, sir. And Christians are leaving year after year. They are immigrating abroad because, as I said, it's so much difficulty, stress, depression, bad economy, no income, and they are seeking for better opportunities abroad. And that's why the situation is getting out of control from the hands of Christian leadership in this land.
Well, and you also have the Palestinian Authority, which has jurisdiction over Bethlehem. And you yourself have experienced really the hostility from the Palestinian Authority. So it makes it very difficult and this is the irony here. You're in the birthplace of Jesus Christ, and it's probably one of the more difficult places in the world. Not the most difficult, but it's certainly a challenge to live for Jesus there in the place of his birth.
It is, Brother Tony. It's a great challenge because people are very religious, and they're religious but lost. And religion is really controlling the hearts and the minds. Even the non-normal Christians and the non-Christians too. It's just religion is killing the spirit of religion. Is killing the spirit of freely being in Christ, freely evangelize, freely preach the gospel, freely witness, freely say this Jesus Christ is the reason for the season.
You're listening to Washington Watch. So glad you're with us on this special Christmas Eve edition. We are speaking to our good friend, Dr. Nayem Khoury, over in Bethlehem. Dr. Khoury, before we run out of time, just want to the message of the gospel. We need to be praying for the Palestinians and those in that part of the world in Bethlehem, the West Bank. Their hearts are ripe for the gospel, are they not?
They are really, hungry and anxious to somebody present to them the good news. And I believe the only solution to the whole situation between the Arabs and the Jews is the Lord Jesus Christ, because he is the only one can solve the whole problem. And let me say this to the listener. You cannot love the Jews and hate the Arabs, and you cannot love the Arabs and hate the Jews. Jesus Christ loves both people. He died for people. That's why we are here in Bethlehem trying to build a bridge of communication to be able to preach the gospel to people.
Amen. Amen. And that's why we stand with you, Dr. Khoury. Thank you so much for joining us, and let me wish you and your family a very Merry Christmas.
Thank you. Same to you. God bless you. Merry Christmas and Happy New Year.
All right, brother. Look forward to seeing you next time we're in Israel. All right, folks, don't go away. When we come back, Dr. Frank Turek will be coming up a little bit later, but also a special message from the administrator of NASA, Jim Bridenstine, next. Something that happened 50 years ago. That's next. Don't go away.
This Christmas, give a gift with purpose. Your gift to Family Research Council enables us to advance faith, family, and freedom in public policy and the culture from a Christian worldview. Together, we will work to ensure religious liberty for all Americans is upheld, unborn babies in the womb are protected, and biblical values are honored in our country. Your giving can make an eternal difference for your community and for future generations. And if you give between now and December 31st to FRC, your gift will be doubled by a generous challenge match. Any donation is tax deductible. Be fruitful in your gift giving this season. Call 1-800-225-4008 or visit frc.org/2018 to donate. Again, that number is 1-800-225-4008 and frc.org/2018. Thank you for standing with us. FRC wishes you and your family a Merry Christmas and a Blessed New Year.
Your email inbox is probably filled with a lot of free stuff these days. Free is good, but most of our email ends up being free spam. If you want a healthier diet in your inbox, add Tony Perkins' Washington Update newsletter to your email menu. This daily update from Family Research Council is our flagship publication, an update with the latest pro-family take on Washington's hottest issues. The update goes beyond the headlines and examines what is really going on in our culture and politics from a biblical perspective. Are evangelicals showing up at the polls? Are faith-based adoption providers persecuting same-sex couples? The left and the media love to answer these questions for you. Let FRC remove the spin and give you real answers with the Washington Update. To subscribe to this free daily newsletter and to subscribe to other free resources, go to frc.org/connect. That's frc.org/connect.
Well, Merry Christmas and welcome back to this Christmas Eve edition of Washington Watch. You know, 50 years ago, on this Christmas Eve, 50 years ago Christmas Eve, one out of every four people on the planet tuned in for a special message from above. Here to tell us about it is our good friend Jim Bridenstine, former congressman from Oklahoma, Navy pilot, and now administrator of NASA. Jim, welcome back to Washington Watch.
Thank you, Tony. It's great to be with you.
Well, you recently kind of gave Americans a history lesson on a special event that took place as astronauts circled the moon 50 years ago. Tell us about it.
Yeah, it's an amazing story. If you go back to the Apollo era, you know, a lot of people remember there was a space race in the 1960s, and it really stemmed from the Cold War. You had the United States against the Soviet Union, two superpowers on the globe, both competing for the high ground, and both nations were attempting to get to the moon as fast as possible. We had some major setbacks. Apollo 1 resulted in a fire that killed three of our best astronauts. And then, of course, we had Apollo 6, which was an uncrewed launch of a Saturn rocket, but it also was a failure. In fact, Apollo 6 had parts of the rocket fall off. The second stage, three of the five engines ignited. Two of them didn't even light. The upper stage, the command module, that single engine on the command module would not reignite after it ignited the first time. The spacecraft barely made it to orbit. It certainly didn't achieve the velocities necessary to test the heat shield to re-enter from a lunar, basically coming back from the moon. Anyway, long story short, Apollo 6 was a failure, and this was in August of 1968. And the next day, there was an intelligence report that came in. The intelligence report said that the Soviets were going to be at the moon by the end of the year. And of course, NASA was astonished. And so NASA made decision that even though, you know, Apollo 6 was a failure, we're going to be at the moon in 4 months. And by the way, in that 4 months, that would put us in orbit around the moon on Christmas Eve and on Christmas Day with three astronauts. Bill Anders, Frank Borman, and Jim Lovell. And those three astronauts, of course, They were amazingly courageous. This was one of the most dangerous missions NASA had ever achieved. And the risk was not just that we could lose three astronauts. The risk was that we could ruin Christmas, not just for the entire country, but for, in fact, the entire world if something went wrong. But it was sufficiently important in 1968 that we beat the Soviets that we went forward with the mission. And what's fascinating, as you mentioned, our astronauts, once they got to the moon, they broadcast from the moon a message on Christmas Eve. And what's fascinating is one out of every four people on the planet tuned in to a message on Christmas Eve. And their message was a reading of the book of Genesis. It was Genesis 1:1 through 1:10. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And they went all the way through, you know, Genesis 1:10, one after another, reading the scripture. And then they wished everyone a Merry Christmas, a Happy New Year, and what an amazing message for all of humanity to hear. And their message wasn't about the United States in particular. The message was about Christmas. And, you know, you think back 50 years, that was 50 years ago. And now, under the president's current space policy directive, we're going back to the moon. This time, we're going to go with our international partners, and we're working really hard to make sure that, in fact, this time, Russia is a part of it, as they have been a part of every mission that we've done, long-duration mission, going back to the Apollo-Soyuz program of 1975. Mm-hmm. So times have changed, but that message, I think, is as important today as it was in 1968. One out of every four people on the planet, including tens of millions of people behind the Iron Curtain, where Christmas was still illegal, were listening to a message from American astronauts about Christmas, and they were reading Genesis 1:1 through 1:10.
So, Jim, what was the response to that 50 years ago? How did people respond when this message was read by astronauts in space?
Well, it was, of course, played and replayed over and over again, and it was just really an amazing moment. What's fascinating is when they went to the moon in order to beat the Soviet Union, they did not take with them a lunar lander. They just went, in 1968, they went to orbit the moon. And without the lunar lander, there is no way to get home if that single engine fails to reignite. And it has to reignite many times. You have to ignite it to get to the moon. You have to ignite it to change orbits at the moon. You have to ignite it to leave lunar orbit and to fly home. And on Apollo 6, that single engine failed to reignite even once. And so this was a tremendously risky mission, and at the same time critically important for humanity to see that the United States was stepping up to the plate to compete in this space race. And so the response, of course, was overwhelming. It got replayed over and over again. It is true that NASA did get sued, yeah, and it went to the Supreme Court, and the Supreme Court threw it out because they figured it was okay to read the scripture if you're at the moon.
Well, and folks, if you would like to hear that, go to the website, TonyPerkins.com, and we've got it up there. Maybe this would be 50 years later. Play it. Jim Bridenstine, absolutely, Thank you so much for joining us. As always, great to talk with you. The Lord be with you over there at NASA. You're doing a great job.
Thank you, Tony. Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas. Folks, don't go away. More Washington Watch to come right after this.
The world on our horizon isn't like the days I knew. Gone are the days of writing with fresh ink on thick paper and the swift crack of a letter opener. Homemade meals now replaced by fancy robots trying to figure out how often I buy organic goji berries. I don't even know what a goji berry is. My church started offering free Wi-Fi and changed their name from First Baptist to Radiant Water Life something or other. They even started posting video sermons recorded on wood pallet backgrounds that sync directly to a Dropbox that I have yet to locate. Thankfully, there's a silver lining to all this newfangled technology. Family Research Council's Stand Firm app. Put down your quill and contact your legislators directly from your smartphone or tablet. Share legislative alerts with your contacts and connect with like-minded Christians about the latest current events. Read the Washington Update and listen to Washington Watch with Tony Perkins. This thing's got it all, buddy boy. Keep your cool and help secure our future at frc.org/app.
Your email inbox is probably filled with a lot of free stuff these days. Free is good, but most of our email ends up being free spam. If you want a healthier diet in your inbox, add Tony Perkins' Washington Update newsletter to your email menu. This daily update from Family Research Council is our flagship publication, an update with the latest pro-family take on Washington's hottest issues. The update goes beyond the headlines and examines what is really going on in our culture and politics from a biblical perspective. Are evangelicals showing up at the polls? Are faith-based adoption providers persecuting same-sex couples? The left and the media love to answer these questions for you. Let FRC remove the spin and give you real answers with the Washington Update. To subscribe to this free daily newsletter and to subscribe to other free resources, go to frc.org/connect. That's frc.org/connect. This Christmas, give a gift with purpose. Your gift to Family Research Council enables us to advance faith, family, and freedom. Together, we will work to protect life, marriage, and religious liberty in our country. If you give before December 31st to FRC, your gift will be doubled. Be fruitful in your gift giving this season. Call 1-800-225-4008 or visit frc.org/2018. FRC wishes you and your family a Merry Christmas and a Blessed New Year.
Don't miss your opportunity to join other like-minded people and become an FRC STAN member. Join today and you'll receive empowering resources like Tony Perkins' book, No Fear, and for a limited time, Pastor Carter Conlon's book, It's Time to Pray. So, become an FRC STAN member for $17 a month. That's just 56 cents a day. To join, call 1-800-225-4008 or visit frc.org/stan. Thank you for partnering with us for the sake of America.
It's beginning to look a lot like Christmas everywhere you go. Take a look in the 5 and 10, glistening once again with candy canes and silver lanes aglow.
Welcome back to Washington Watch. Yes, there's a reason it's beginning to look a lot like Christmas. In fact, it is Christmas, Christmas Eve. Thanks so much for joining us. The website, TonyPerkins.com. We were just talking with NASA Administrator Jim Bridenstine about the controversy 50 years ago when the NASA astronauts, as they were orbiting the moon, read from Genesis. And one out of every four people on the planet actually heard that. As he talked about behind the Iron Curtain, they listened. But here in America, the atheists... Well, they got busy and took them to court. As he said, ultimately went to the Supreme Court and they won. But, you know, tonight, as many will attend candlelight Christmas Eve services celebrating the birth of Jesus, over the past 2,000 years or so, the birth of Jesus, the way he came into the world, even though we see, you know, almost everybody in this country at least celebrating Christmas, there is still controversy around what is at the heart of Christmas, and that is the birth of Jesus Christ. What is it about a baby in a manger that is so controversial? With us now to talk about it is our good friend Dr. Frank Turek, award-winning author, speaker, and president of CrossExamine.org. Frank, welcome back to Washington Watch.
Tony, as always, it's great being with you. How are you doing?
I'm great. Merry Christmas to you, Frank. And you know, I know you must be busy this time of year as one who is involved in apologetics for Christianity. You know, all the world seems to want to celebrate Christmas, but they don't want to talk about Jesus. What is it about the baby in a manger that is so controversial?
Well, Tony, I want your listeners to consider someone they know who's not a Christian whom they'd like to be a Christian. I mean, think of somebody that you love, a friend, a relative, somebody who's not a Christian whom you'd like to be a Christian. Everybody have someone in their mind right now. Okay, here's my question for the person you're thinking of. Is the person you're thinking of on a relentless pursuit of truth? They want to know if Christianity is true or not, or are they apathetic or hostile to the Christian message? Tony, I survey audiences that I speak to frequently with that very question, and it's either 99-1 or 100-0. People say the person they're thinking of is apathetic or hostile. They don't want Christianity to be true. Now, the only question in my mind is, why would you not want a savior to come into the world and save you from your own sins, not only now, but for all eternity? Why would you not want that, Tony? I mean, it should be true, or people should want it to be true, but they don't want it to be true. And here's why I think most people don't want it to be true, because they think God is going to get in the way of what they want to do here on earth. They think God is going to somehow spoil their fun or spoil their direction or spoil what they want to do in their lives. And so they'd rather not have God because they're going to pursue happiness, and they think God is going to get in the way of their happiness. You know, most people are not on a truth quest, Tony. We're on a happiness quest, and we're just going to believe whatever we think is going to make us happy. And I think that's one reason why.
And that's why we see such an intense opposition today to the – or we've seen over the last 50 years, over the last 5 decades, this intense opposition to the idea of a creator, especially now where we have people wanting to declare their own gender. Because we don't want to recognize that there's a creator, a God, because if we acquiesce to that idea, then that opens the door for him, if he's the creator – to be the one that sets the rules.
Yeah, that's people do not want to bow their knee to anybody other than their own desire, their own will. This is why Jesus said men love darkness rather than light. I mean, think about this, Tony. Jesus raises Lazarus from the dead, and then the Israeli authorities, the Jewish authorities, not only want to kill Lazarus again, they want to kill Jesus. Instead of saying, wow, Jesus is the Messiah, they go, this guy has to die. It's better that one innocent man die than all of Israel go down. And that's where we are today. A lot of people would rather sacrifice truth than their own autonomy.
That's I always find that passage with Lazarus, that after Jesus raised him from the dead, apparently he became, you know, such a figure as well. People were coming to talk with him. They wanted to kill him. Because of what Jesus had done in his life.
It just amazes me that they see. This is why people say, well, if God would appear to me, I would believe. No, you wouldn't. You wouldn't believe. You're resisting him already. Right? You can just look around at creation. You know, there has to be a creator. We reason from effect to cause. We have this creation here. We know there's got to be a creator. People don't even want to follow the light that they have. If God were to give them more light, in most cases, they'd say, no, I don't want you. I want to go my own way. That's really the issue. It's a heart issue. It's a head issue. There's plenty of evidence out there. In fact, I wrote a book called I Don't Have Enough Faith to Be an Atheist.
And I've given away many copies because it's an excellent book. It's an excellent book. I've read it multiple. In fact, I usually read it once a year just to refresh myself with the arguments, or the, you know, when I say arguments, the apologetics of how we defend our faith. In fact, I want that as one of the reasons I wanted to have you come on today, as we've talked a little bit about the controversy surrounding Christmas and Jesus. But a lot of folks are going to sit down across the table tonight and tomorrow with family members, people they love, people that they care deeply about. What are some of the tips that I wanted you to prepare them to have those conversations about Jesus and use this as an opportunity? Because this is one of those times where, look, it's Christmas. It's like the elephant in the room. It just happens to be the baby in the room, the manger. The door's open. We can talk about it, but how do we do that?
I think there are two questions you can ask somebody if you really want to talk about Jesus and really the reason for the season. If they're not a Christian, maybe a question you can ask is, you could say, hey, do you mind me asking, why are you not a Christian? And then just wait and see what they say. I can almost guarantee you, Tony, invariably people are not going to say, because there's not enough evidence out there. They're going to say things like, well, because there's too much evil in the world, or because Christians have been jerks, or the church is corrupt. What they're going to do is not talk about anything that could really defeat Christianity. They're just going to talk about evil that we've done. Well, that's really the whole story of Christianity anyway, that God comes into the world to solve the evil problem. You might go, well, Eureka, we actually have a solution to it, and that's why Jesus came. So the first question you want to ask is, why are you not a Christian? And see what they say before you go to the next question. And for me, the next question is this. If Christianity were true, would you become a Christian? Tony, I've asked that question of atheists all over the college campuses that I speak at. And they'll stand in front of hundreds of people. And when I ask them that question at the Q&A mic, if Christianity were true, would you become a Christian? I've had people, atheists, say no. No. Why? Because they don't want it to be true. Again, they want to do their own thing. They don't want there to be a creator out there to whom they have to bow their knees. So I would just ask those two questions. Why are you not a Christian? And if Christianity were true, would you become a Christian? Now, if they say yes, okay, great. Let's look at the evidence together and follow the truth where it leads.
So what do you do with those who, you know, they have they've already made up their mind, as you said, they don't want to know God. They've said that, you know, if it were true, I'm not going to believe it because I want to be the captain of my own destiny. How do you,
right.
Where do you take the conversation from there?
Well, then you can say, well, thanks for being honest. And then you pray for them and you love them. Because I can almost guarantee you at some point in that person's life, there's going to be some difficulty they're going to go through. And at that point, your phone is going to ring and that person's going to be on the other end. They're not going to call their atheist friend who's going to say, well, this stuff just happens. There's no rhyme or reason. They're going to call you because you're a person of spiritual depth. You know, when the teacher's ready or the student's ready, the teacher will appear. But you can't push a rope. You can't force somebody to want Christianity to be true. All you can do is love them and pray for them and be there when they need you. That's about all you can do. And then, by the way, you can't – sorry, go ahead, Tony.
No, go ahead. Go finish that thought.
And I was going to say there are other questions you can ask. And by the way, many of these questions are on our app, the Cross-Examined app, two words in the app store, Cross-Examined. Another question you can ask is when somebody says something, it's not your job to defeat what they say or refute what they say. It's that person's job to support what he or she says. So if they say something like, well, I can't believe the Bible because it's been changed throughout the centuries, don't go into a dissertation as to why it hasn't been changed. Simply say, well, what do you mean by that? And right. How did you come to that conclusion? You know, give me some evidence for your position, because I can almost guarantee you, Tony, they won't have evidence. They just heard a slogan. And as soon as you ask them to back up that slogan with evidence, they're going to be out of intellectual justification.
Well, and that's also the way Jesus handled his critics, is
right.
That he asked them questions. He put it back into their court. But you can also – I want to go back to those that, you know, just close the door. Say, I don't want to believe. And oftentimes it does come down to the issue we spoke about just a few moments ago, and that is they want to control their own lives. They don't
right.
want to surrender to the Lord, because if you accept him as Savior, you have to receive him as Lord. And that means that you surrender your life to him. And people are afraid of that. Number one, they don't want to lose control, even though they're out of control right now. And
mm-hmm.
they are afraid that somehow the Christian life is boring. It's dull. It's a lack of there's no fun in it. And God just robs us of our joy. I think you share your story, your journey of faith with the Lord. I mean, Frank, you and I have done some things together. I know you were a naval pilot. The Lord has used you in many ways, and we've all had experiences, many of them rough. It doesn't mean that we're without challenges as Christians. But I will tell you this right now, at 55 years old, the Christian life lived in submission and surrender to the Lord is the most exciting life to live. There's an adventure around every corner.
Oh, absolutely. And that's why Jesus says, if you want to gain your life, you've got to lose it for me. The only way to get true contentment and happiness and actually be involved in an eternal purpose is to follow what Jesus wants us to follow, and that's himself. If we do that, we'll still go through pain and suffering. We will have persecution. We're promised that.
Yeah.
But we'll have contentment through it.
And that goes to your point about just the dialogue, because, I mean, look, if we live in a fallen world, and
mm-hmm.
and there are things that, you know, that everybody's going to experience. Some of these things are by our own making. Other things are not. Just as, you know, Jesus asked about the man who I believe was blind. He said, which of his parents sinned? And he said, neither.
Right.
It was for the glory of God. And
right.
and so when people come to the end of themselves, but they see somebody who also experiences challenges but has somehow joy through the midst of that,
mm-hmm.
they seem to have it together, that's where they turn. And that's how you open that door, by letting people know, not hiding your faith, which is really what I think a lot of the intimidation we see today from the I'm going to say the enemy, and I'm talking about our spiritual enemy, not our political enemy, not our ideological mm-hmm. enemy, but the spiritual enemy. They want us to hide our faith so that others will not know where to turn in that moment when they're susceptible to the truth of the gospel.
Yes, and that's why I think tonight and tomorrow, as you're sitting around with your family, just ask more questions. You know, talk 20% of the time, listen 80% of the time, and see really where people are and where they're hurting. You can always say, can I pray for you? Or is it okay if I pray for you? Very few people are going to say, no, don't pray for me. I mean, just open a door. You don't have to get all the way even to the gospel. You can just open a door to a future relationship by just asking questions like that.
Right, absolutely. And look, I think Christians need courage. They need the courage. And I just think it's quite easy this time of year. It's Christmas. I mean, Christmas is about the birth of Jesus Christ. That's a historical fact. So we don't have to apologize about that. We can, you know, we can thank, you know, God for that in public. And I think as we give these family gatherings, you know, just if you're not the host, somebody else is, hey, do you mind if we just say a blessing for our time together and, you know, just interject the real reason for the season?
That's right. Put the gospel in the prayer. Nobody will interrupt a prayer.
Well, almost nobody. I've seen a few, but most civil folks will not. Frank, your book is still in circulation. People can get I Don't Have Enough Faith to Be an Atheist. Where can they find copies?
Well, they can get it anywhere. Fine books are sold, and if they're in a bookstore and it's not there, it's just sold out again, Tony. They can also go to our website, crossexamined.org. That's crossexamined with a D on the end of it, .org. There's DVD sets they can get with it, workbooks, the whole deal. So, yeah, thanks for mentioning that, because we want to give people the evidence that it's true, and it really is true. It takes more faith to believe in atheism or any non-Christian belief in Christianity.
It is a great work. You and Dr. Geisler put that together. It's great. It's a it's a layman's guide to the science that supports the evidence of creation and everything else. So I encourage people to get a copy of that. Frank, as always, great to have you on the program. Merry Christmas to you and your family.
You too, Tony. Thanks for the fine work you're doing.
All right. Thanks so much. Talk to you next year. Frank Turek. To find out more, go to the website, TonyPerkins.com. And I really do. I try to read his book, reread it every year. It's just a really good source for having the information we need to defend the faith. All right. We're almost out of time. I do want to wish each and every one of you a very Merry Christmas. And prayerfully consider how the Lord might use you in the next 24 hours as you spend time with family and friends to be a witness to the true meaning of Christmas. Yes, yes, there is a Savior. His name is Jesus Christ, and he was sent into the world to save us from our sins. Until next time, I leave you with the encouraging words the Apostle Paul found in Ephesians 6, where he says, when you've done everything you can do, when you've prayed, prepared, and taken your stand, by all means, keep standing.
Washington Watch with Tony Perkins is powered by the Family Research Council and is entirely listener supported. For more information on anything you've heard today, or to find out how you can partner with us in our ongoing efforts to promote faith, family, and freedom, visit TonyPerkins.com. Also, to leave a comment about Washington Watch, call our watch line at 1-866-372-7234. That's 1-866-372-7234.